It is that time. Time for Stiles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Stiles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. On a Wednesday, Stiles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking up to 2 p.m. Kings lose to the Hornets. They will now take on the Magic tonight. Second game of back-to-back, which, if you didn't know, they've never won a game in this situation this season. We will talk to Wendell Epps at 12 p.m. He does a lot of great work for the Orlando Magic and announcer out there in Orlando at 12:30. We will have the Kings Roundtable with our Kings insiders, Brendan Nunes and Frankie Cardicelli. So we're going to try to power through. We're going to try to power through the best way we can. You know, Chris, I put out a little video before the show, and I went through a lot of different emotions. Mm-hmm. So last night, maybe it was just a coincidence because obviously baby girl is already sleeping during the game. But she wouldn't stay asleep. It was a lot of rustling, and then she got up again at 2 a.m. in the morning.
That sounds
great.
And
refused to go to sleep. Fed her again, changed her again. It's 3 a.m. and ends up going down at around 3:15. She'd never done that before.
Yeah.
And I can't help.
She was
help.
Expecting a beam. That's what it was.
I can't help but blame the Kings for that.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense to me.
Because that pathetic performance.
Yeah. Yeah. Even she knows.
Stunk up. It wasn't her dirty diapers. It was the Kings' performance keeping her up all night.
Yeah. She was it's trash here.
It was so trash. It was so trash. This is how y'all get down?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody, this isn't a blame pot. This is a blame arena. Just an arena full of blame.
Yeah.
Everybody but the fans gets blame. Everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody. And instead of, I guess, there's so many ways to do this. We can sit here and we can be upset and we'll go through some of the X's and O's about what actually went down, even though they shouldn't have been in this situation. So we have plenty of audio from Malik Monk and Mike Brown and their exchange, De'Aaron Fox, how he reacts to things like this. So we'll talk about all that, but from a big picture perspective, I think last night just made it so that we can no longer kid ourselves into thinking that this team and this roster can win a championship. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, that's interesting. I feel like I know where you're from there because I don't know if that's the exact feeling I get, but I think it's a similar where it's just it clearly is saying that there's something fundamentally wrong about the team. Like you shouldn't have the ups and downs that have gone on throughout this season. And I think the fact that you lose games to Portland and then the Hornets in like a week span.
That's the problem.
That's bad. Like, that's not something that good teams do. Great teams do. Because I think the Kings are a good team.
They kind of should have lost to the Hawks.
And they should. That's a great point, right? They should have lost to the Hawks 100%. Mm. And like, I mean, yeah, it takes a heroic second half performance and, you know, yeah, I mean, it's even more frustrating and honestly more on brand, on character, that they played their best game of the freaking season on New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. And, like, it looks like, okay, you go through the Portland game. Like you said, you almost lose the Atlanta game, but you do get the result. You end up getting the win. And then you have your best win of the season heading into the new year. It feels like everything's starting to trend towards the right direction. Okay, again, you have some easy opponents coming in front of you. And then they just blow it on last night, and it's two steps forward to go one step back. It's whatever you want to say. It's just incredibly frustrating that it just feels like you can't trust this team. Really, it just feels like right when you think this team's turning a corner, right when you feel like, all right, things are starting to figure each other out. Okay, they just made a lineup change. Okay, that looks good. And I think Duarte looked good yesterday. I wouldn't put any blame on the result from yesterday of the lineup changes.
I wouldn't.
It's just it's garbage. And yeah, you're not going to be able to have sustained success in the playoffs if you aren't consistent and you can't be trusted. Like it also makes me think, not that last night was a must-win game, but I mean, it just this team does have, and I talked about it on the live stream last night, there's a weird thing with this team where they do kind of lose a lot of games that are, and again, last night's not a gotta have it. I would say tonight is probably more so in the gotta have it territory, but they just, they tend to lose when it feels like they absolutely need to win a game or they should win a game. It feels like, with the exception of like game six last year in the playoffs, pretty much every big game that the Kings have had, it feels like they lose. And again, I'm not calling last night a big game, but it just makes me feel like, okay, last night's a situation where there's no excuses why you should lose. Everything's working in your favor. You're at home against a team that's on an 11-game losing streak and has their best, like three of their best players
off
out.
Off of back-to-back.
Off of back.
Denver back-to-back.
You're making me feel Denver. So much worse. You're a making Denver. Me feel so much worse right now. But it's just inexcusable. I last night is definitely the worst loss of the season. I know Dave asked us that yesterday during the crosstalk. Absolutely the worst loss of the season and completely inexcusable. I don't know if it's rock bottom, but it's definitely a really big low point.
Well, here's
it's
what's
close to that Houston.
Right. No, and the Houston thing, we just found a way. It was early on. There was no De'Aaron.
Yeah.
You could talk yourself
point,
out
right.
of it.
That's a great point.
You can't talk yourself out of the Blazers.
Yeah.
And you can't talk yourself out of this.
Yeah.
There's just no way.
No.
If you try to talk yourself out of the Blazers, you could say at least you had to travel to Portland.
Sure.
I'm just saying if you tried, you can't even make
Everybody
that.
Has one.
Everybody has one. And then they do it again.
Nuts.
But here's what's crazy to me, because I know somebody is probably typing it in right now. If you want to be a part of the conversation, 916-339-1140 on the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. In the SAC chat, I see you guys going crazy already, so shout out to you. Here's the thing. Somebody's going to type in and say, hey, let's take a beat. Let's relax. They're 19-13.
Totally.
My argument isn't that they're not 19-13, because that's what they are. My argument is they're not going to move. Mm. My argument is, this is who they are.
Yeah.
This is who they've shown themselves to be. So they are going to stay in that 4-6 range, and they better pray to the high heavens and to the basketball gods that none of these teams below, that the Lakers don't get hot, that
or
the Warriors don't get hot or make a trade, that the Suns don't figure it out. Because now you're talking play-in.
Yep.
Like, I am okay saying this current roster is between the 4-6 seed.
Yeah.
I can agree with that. I can't control what the other teams are going to do. And if any of these other teams get hot, you're in the play-in and you're done.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yeah. I mean, it makes this season definitely, I mean, at the very least, it's not a step forward, right? I mean, I think it would maybe be a step back, but I agree. Like, I think with how the inconsistency that this team has played this year, I definitely think that, you know, they're definitely trending towards that 4-6. Like you said, I don't see them unless they make a move. I mean, that's definitely the thing, and I don't think it has to be a major move, but with how they're currently constructed and just how they've played through 30 games now, you can't trust them, and they've been super inconsistent. And at this point, I would say they've been consistently inconsistent. And so I think that this is going to be the trend for the rest of the year if they don't figure it out, is that, there'll be some highs, but there's also going to be some games where they just fall flat. And I think last night's an example where there's no excuse for. I mean, I do think also last night should fit into its own bucket. I don't think it was similar, and De'Aaron kind of said it yesterday. I don't really think that yesterday's loss is in the same bucket as some of the other losses they've had this year. Yesterday just kind of felt like a mental lapse. Like, it feels like they overlooked their opponent, but I also think that that's just a really immature thing to do from a team. Like, that's how you know this Kings team is still in year two as well. Like, that's just not a game that teams that have been in the playoffs year after year after year, they don't drop that. They don't lose the focus for one night like that, because it's really clear. I mean, the Kings said it all yesterday. Every single person who came up to the podium after the game said it was turnovers, and it wasn't even like they were forcing the turnovers. All unforced, all just sloppy play, and that tells me that, you didn't respect your opponent. You thought you could just walk out there, roll the ball out. They were up. Honestly, the Kings still managed to be up, 90% of that game? And at the end of the day, they let an NBA player get hot in Terry Rozier, and that's what happens, is anyone is capable of giving you buckets. And, I unfortunately yesterday said something really stupid that I wish I could take back. I said, the Kings really don't even need to play defense for 48 minutes. It's just slow down the Hornets for the first half, and there's no way they'll get hot. Well, I mean, they that's why I'm not an NBA coach and I'm sitting right here.
Because, at the time, Terry Rozier we got didn't hot. Know about Terry, though.
That's
at
true,
that time,
right.
We did not know.
Was, the injury report was full. But
at that time, I still right? So they rolled the ball out, and then they just let it roll out of bounds multiple times. Yeah. What I'm picturing, okay, is maybe there was a team-building exercise where they all watched the new Hunger Games, just like Dave's kids, and they all ate a big bucket of extra buttered popcorn, right? And Sabonis was holding it. Sabonis had the most popcorn, and they forgot to wash their hands, and they just had buttered
the Century Lots popcorn. Right there,
it's right
Century
there.
Century Theater's right there.
Buttered popcorn hands all game long, so you couldn't hold on to the basketball.
Yeah.
You couldn't hold on to the basketball. You know you can't make your free throws.
Right.
It's just an absolute mess.
Yeah.
But enough from us. You will hear from the guys. You will hear from De'Aaron Fox. You will hear from Mike Brown, who had an exchange with Malik. It was fairly uncomfortable. Yeah. Fairly uncomfortable. But that is just scratching the surface on what went down in this game, if you even want to call it that. Just a poor performance from the Kings. They know it. They kicked our behinds. Yeah, all the same things that we've heard. It feels like Groundhog Day. Hearing the same things over and over and over again.
Yeah.
I feel like Marshawn Lynch. If you're just going to go out and lose to teams that you shouldn't over and over. Nate, we got to get that sound because it's just the same losses over and over and over and over and over again. Just have some pride. And by the way, we'll get into it. I don't want to hear about a Vocalito, this, that. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is not a big talker, okay? But they seem to not have a problem with leadership over there, and they're actually a young team.
Yeah.
All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, we will hear from De'Aaron Fox on the loss, also from Mike Brown and his exchange with Malik Monk. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. We will have our roundtable. Frankie Cardicelli, Brandon Nunez at 12:30. That's for an hour. Get your calls, get your questions, your comments, your concerns ready for our guys. We will also talk to Wendell Epps, who works for the Orlando Magic and announcer for the G League Orlando Magic as well. We will talk to Wendell and just maybe find out how upset the Magic are going to be coming to town. They lost. It was a close-ish game. I was trying to watch both with the Warriors, but the Warriors were on a three-game skid, so the Warriors are trying to get back.
Right, a little juice.
Yeah, on the right side of things, so they were able to handle business against the Orlando Magic. Orlando Magic fifth in the East, very similar record to the Kings, so it should be a good game tonight. No joking there. Hopefully it is a good game tonight. Let's hear from De'Aaron Fox, who had some things to say as far as moving on from last night's loss, and here he is.
I mean, it's funny because I was telling them, like, obviously I don't think we've had one of those bad just stretches of games, but at the end of the day, you soak in a loss like this, and it can pile on to six losses in a row. So for me personally, when I walk out this building, I'm not thinking about this game again. So I think it's to each their own on a subject like that. But for me personally, Once I walk out of here, I mean, we have another game tomorrow. We're playing against a good Orlando team. So what am I thinking about this game for?
Why don't you soak in something? Soak in a W.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Right? It's when you win, you don't soak that in
either.
Yeah, I was thinking,
do you feel like that's a little bit of, like, just kind of talk a little bit?
I don't know that they're panicking in there, but I think they know it's a really bad look.
Yeah.
And I think they know, I think right now they're probably just living on the fact that they do still have a good record.
Right.
But the problem isn't that they have a good record. The problem is that this is the easiest stretch of games that you have throughout the course of the season. I checked last night. Mm-hmm. There's no other stretch. You have a couple games here and there where you got the back-to-back with the Hornets and the Pistons, which you can't count the Hornets as an easy game anymore, right?
That better be a 35-point win in Charlotte. I mean, okay, dude, y'all just, better come out
I think
laser
we're asking
focused.
Too much. I think we're honestly asking
that
too much.
That should be a 30-point spread.
This is the easiest. This is the easiest stretch, right? So it's not about the fact that you still have a good record. It's about the fact that you have to look towards the future, okay? And I don't need De'Aaron to, oh, woe is me and we stunk or whatever. And I don't need you to throw a chair. But I do need you to at least try to identify why this keeps happening.
Sit with it for a little bit.
Right?
Yeah.
Why does it keep happening?
Mm-hmm.
If you leave and it just leaves your brain, then it's more likely to happen again. What's that phrase? If you don't know your history, you're doomed to repeat it.
Yeah.
So if you're just walking out, la-di-da-di-da, okay, we didn't win this one, you're going to do the same thing.
Yeah.
That's how I see it. I don't need you to sulk.
Yeah, totally.
I don't need you to drag your feet up there and not want to talk to anybody. But I do want you to try to acknowledge that this can't keep happening.
Yeah.
Or it can.
Yeah.
And you're just never going to get out of the second round, De'Aaron. That's fine. Because we're sitting up here, we got the MVP ladder. I'm gonna do a Draper. I'm gonna take the MVP ladder piece of paper and throw it out the window because they're not letting you in, De'Aaron, already. And they dang sure ain't letting you in if you're losing to the Hornets and Terry Rozier.
Yeah, the MVP ladder this week is definitely gonna mention the fact two big losses to the Trailblazers and the Hornets.
Yeah.
Definitely, I mean, it's you're not wrong. Like, I mean, it's gonna stunt pretty much all the work that, I mean, he just was getting in those MVP ladders too. I mean, we've been talking for weeks about how he keeps being in the five other names and all that stuff.
And I'm not saying it's his fault.
No,
don't get me wrong.
Yeah. No, I mean, he had 30 last night. I mean, not that. And in the Portland game, he had 43.
But you had 30. But you did have a costly turnover at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. What is happening?
Not blameless,
And, you know, we're listening to our guy, Mark Jones. Oh, yeah. You know, De'Aaron really takes this seriously, guarding the best player. Well, maybe he shouldn't because Scary Terry is cooking you. Maybe we should reevaluate. And Coach Mike Brown, you want to go ahead and trap every single time, but you didn't want to trap last night? Didn't want to get the ball out of Miles Bridges' hands? Didn't want to get the ball out of Scary Terry's hands. They did it one time. They got cooked.
Yeah.
That was after they already lost the lead. So I don't know. I am at a loss for words right now.
Over and 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 over.
There's no way.
Over and over and
you're looping that.
No, he's not looping it.
No, it's super long.
It's the free.
I cut out the breath. That's
how many times do they miss their free throws? Don't play it again. But you understand.
It's coming again. Just wait.
I
get it. I mean, it's super frustrating. I understand. And like, I didn't love hearing that from De'Aaron, and I'm not going to rip him for it or anything, but I think that, you know, to me, it was a little bit of a, whatever, on to the next one. We got the next game tomorrow. I don't think there's anything wrong with I think he almost thought there would have been something wrong with saying, yeah, like this one's going to sting a little bit more. Yeah, we need to kind of sit on this and really think. Like, it's almost like, you know, we talk about acknowledgement being the first step. It's almost like they don't want to acknowledge that there's been some really bad this year. They just want to focus on, no, we're good. We've got 19 wins. You know, look at the history of this team. Like, we're in a good spot relatively, but I think that's not acknowledging the fact that we're all seeing it's not really so much about the wins. It's more so about the games that you lose are all just really big statements, it feels like. Again, like the Portland loss paired with this, that's not a good sign. And then all of the big losses to, you know, I don't need to go down the Houston and the New Orleans route and all that
stuff.
But
you can.
But all of those losses were really, really bad. It's not like they're close losses. We've been talking about it all year. It's the fact that, when they win, it's fine and dandy. But when they lose, it just feels again like there's something structurally wrong. Like, it doesn't feel like, oh, this is just a, again, last night was a little bit more of the lapse of attention to detail, but it hasn't felt like that. It's felt like there is something that needs to change if this team wants to change its ceiling. Because, again, over and over and over and over again, it's the same thing every single time they lose. And, yeah, I mean, on a night like last night, it more just really lights a fire, I think, under a fan base that has been kind of stewing some anger for a couple weeks now. And now it's like, now that the trade deadline's, you know, right around the corner and OG and Anunoby's been moved and, you know, the first move has already been made, floodgate's going to open soon. It just makes me think, like, and again, Kevin Huerter moving to the bench, how soon is another move going to happen? You know, like, I think that the Kings are in a spot right now where after making a lineup change, the next step, in my opinion, if things still aren't working, is, well, we might need to change up the personnel.
Yeah, and, you know, to be completely honest, just going off of what you said, they use the back-to-back as a cop-out.
Oh, yeah, for
because,
sure.
Oh, we got to flush it. We got a game. Yeah, but you can still, hey, take this into next game. You're just not going to think about last night?
At all.
Right? I guess they're just hoping, hey, if we just eventually keep rolling and keep winning at some point, this stuff will go away, which you just haven't done that. You just have not been able to do that yet. And the separation is happening now. You see what the Thunder are doing. It's little by little.
Yeah. Oh,
you
yeah.
know, instead of... You're behind by one game. Now you're behind by two games. And all of a sudden, oh, we're back five games. Yep. And you're, oh, okay. So now that's one spot, right? If the Timberwolves keep rolling, okay, well, you can't get the one seed. If the Thunder keep rolling, okay, you can't get the two seed.
Right.
Now you're, okay, well, hopefully we can get three or four. And again, these teams are not going to stay quiet.
No.
You think LeBron at 39 is just going to chill?
No.
It was just his birthday with Draymond out there.
No.
You think he's just going to ride it?
Zach LaVine will be a Laker in like 3 weeks.
Somebody is going to arrive in L.A.
Yes, that's a guarantee.
And speaking of arriving, the Clippers have almost arrived.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they've played really well this year. They've been really healthy, too.
So if you don't figure, and you can't even beat the Clippers, mm-mm. right? So to me, I'm looking at everything that the Kings have done thus far, and the question is, we can go down the list. We're still going to break down what happened in Charlotte. But to me, it's more of an indictment on the team that we have to have a conversation about the Charlotte Hornets. Right. I don't care what happened last night. I don't care that Sabonis had all these turnovers. Mm-hmm. I don't care. You shouldn't have been in that situation. Now it's, why did it happen?
Right.
That's where I'm at with this. And what's next? All right. Got to get to a break. Tim, I see you on the line. We will talk to you as soon as we pay some bills. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Over and over.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m., breaking down all things Kings in the most positive way possible, which isn't really possible.
No.
On a day like today, we will be joined by Wendell Epps at 12 p.m., producer for the Orlando Magic Radio, who will get us ready for another game tonight against an upset Magic team who have lost 7 of their last 10, looking to take advantage of a Kings team who aren't in Fracturedville, but might be in the car, and we hope they're not in the car. We're going to get to this Malik Monk and Mike Brown exchange in the sound. We'll break that all down for you. But first, Tim's been hanging on the line. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda
Hotline.
What's up,
guys? How you doing?
What's up? What you got for us?
Oh, man, brutal last night. But let's talk about the real problem right now. Monty's done a great job with this team, but he did not upgrade the roster this season. Sasha's been terrible, and Barnes was a massive, massive mistake to re-sign him, especially for a 3-year deal and his contract. What's your guys' thoughts?
No, that's spot on, Tim. Yeah, Sasha, to be completely honest, on a night like last night, I know they shot 39% from three, but it didn't feel like it. And you have a guy in Sasha who can't get off the bench, right? And he had some good minutes, right? So that's the Sasha piece of this. And then also the Harrison Barnes piece. We've gone back and forth so much with Harrison Barnes. Mm-hmm. But if you do look at it, 3 more years of this is insanity.
Yeah.
3 more years of this is crazy. So when you take a chance and you sign someone with probably the back of your mind thinking we're going to move him at some point, well, that's cool as long as you get to move him and
right.
As long as that timing is right. And right now, I don't know what the market is for Harrison Barnes. Obviously, you know he's not going to be by himself. So that's either with picks or that's either with another guy,
right?
And you go from there. But as far as Sasha is concerned, you know, I think it speaks to a conversation about the rotations and what exactly we've applauded Coach Mike Brown for not sticking to everything and being able to be dynamic with his rotations and his lineups and things like that. But some of it doesn't make any sense to me. And I know Davion Mitchell played well in Atlanta and helped that comeback. Mm-hmm. So then all of a sudden, and we were talking before the show, well, Allen, if Davion's getting those minutes, Keon can't get them. Well, somebody got to stop Terry Rozier. Somebody, I don't know who, right? And as far as Sasha is concerned, I know they shot 39% from three, and that's really what he does. But that one could maybe more so go on Monty McNair because, hey, you bring this guy in, he's a EuroLeague MVP, and he's riding Pine. So you didn't get better.
Yeah.
You just didn't get better at all.
I think it depends on what you view the goal of the offseason was. I don't know if looking at the moves at the end of the offseason, we can confidently say, like, okay, the Kings' first and foremost goal was to improve mm-hmm. on the team that was there last year. Because, frankly, I mean, pretty much all the moves, the Kings got ridiculed for essentially running it back. And, I mean, that definitely isn't going to lead to improvement. I think the biggest spot where they were looking to improve was internally. They were hoping De'Aaron would take a leap that he did make. They were hoping Keegan would take a leap, which, you know, frankly, I think it's been under-talked about a little bit how Keegan Murray hasn't really lived up to his side of that development.
Yeah.
I mean, Keegan Murray was supposed to be the consistent number three guy, and last night, he finished with 12 points and, you know, really didn't make much of an impact on the game. Of course, we've seen Keegan take strides this year, but it hasn't been as a consistent number three option. And then the Sabonis signing as well, the Sabonis extension, what you maybe could have done with that $10 million. And I don't know. I mean, I would agree with the caller that the Monty McNair did not improve this roster over the offseason. I think Sasha is a guy that they had huge plans for. I mean, the way that they were talking about him was like, we're ready for this guy to be like our seventh option. Mm-hmm. And he, like you said, he's still riding Pine. Chris Duarte was someone who was supposed to come in and replace Terrence Davis and be an upgrade there. I would say at best, it's been a push between Duarte and Davis at best. And it's starting to look at best at this moment. Like, I would have said worse if you would have asked me a week ago. And then JaVale, they had Nemias Keita, who's been okay for Boston. Mm-hmm. They had Nerlens Noel, who we don't know. That was just a complete question mark. And they had Scalabissier, who is now in G League. And they cut all of them because JaVale became available, and Monty McNair was like, well, JaVale's actually the guy that we would want over all of those guys. And none of those three pieces have really made an impact. And if you throw Keegan's development into that, the four major pieces that were supposed to be different from last year to this year haven't made any sort of impact, really, when it comes to the success of this team. And then you could argue whether it's a small setback or not. I think Sabonis has played a little bit worse than he did last year. I think Harrison Barnes has played a little bit worse than he had last year. And I think Kevin Huerter has definitely played worse
than he did last year. That's a big one.
Yeah, it's huge. I would say Malik and De'Aaron definitely have played better than they did last year. But, you know, that's two versus seven guys that I just listed. I think that's really where, you know, the Kings or Monty McNair, I guess, has kind of failed this team. Is, yes, he's put together a good team, but again, they're still really, really flawed.
Well, and that's the thing. You can be that can be who you are, right? I mean, you can be who the Kings are, and if you just want to be between a four to six seed, and hey, we'll just see what happens.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think that's what the plan was, because I do think the timeline. Like, I think fans are a little bit more ahead of the timeline than what the Kings feel like mm-hmm. they are right now. I think fans feel like the Kings should be ready to take a next step. And just based off of, again, what Monty has done so far this offseason and to this point, feels like the team is a little bit more of a, we just at this moment want to make sure, like, we're still good. We're still locked into that playoffs. Because last year, let's not forget, like, the Kings were way ahead of schedule last year.
Yeah, but that's what happens, though.
Should that mean that you end up moving forward your time? Like, because you could mess up your time.
I don't know.
You could mess everything up because you got too excited about trying to take the next step too early. I mean, you could argue that's what Minnesota did last year. Definitely paid dividends for them this year. But if you just look at last year, Minnesota finally breaks their playoff drought. And then they go and they're like, okay, we're ready to compete. Anthony Edwards, Karl Anthony Towns, let's go out there and get Rudy Gobert. Let's send all of our assets out to go get Rudy Gobert. And then you see what happens last year. Minnesota was 8th seed, I think they finished as. Again, this year it's definitely worked out for them. But that could be a situation where, I mean, it just never did work out. So the Kings, again, and that's when we talk about big trades, big moves, you just got to make sure it's the right one.
This is the PR aspect, and here I'm just looking at Kevin Huerter's numbers. His field goal percentage last season, he was 48% field goal.
Wow, that's really good.
42 this year.
Yeah.
40% from three, 34 this year. Oof. 15 points a game last season. 10 points a game this season. So that's big.
Yeah,
that's huge. You mix that with the Keegan regression.
Right.
And with Keegan,
I wouldn't call it regression.
Well, as
he's
a shooter.
Not, he's not worse than he was last year. He's a better player than he was last year.
He is, but I think what we're struggling with Keegan is honestly, he's just in his caterpillar phase.
Sure.
He's in his caterpillar phase, and we're hoping.
Very cocoony right now.
We're very cocoony, super cocoony right now. And we're just hoping that next season he becomes a butterfly.
Yeah, or at the end of this season, at some point.
At some point, because, you know, I was joking about the trade machine in the pre-show, and you said, Alan, you literally made me go up and take a lap, and I'm not saying.
You took that lap yourself.
And I did take it myself. And I'm not saying a move, but I'm saying it's a gamble that this kid will be a butterfly.
Because
there's some dudes still cocooning.
Oh, yeah,
and they've been in the league for 5 years.
Yeah.
So that's the hope there. And you combine that with Kevin Huerter, that right there is huge. Yeah. Everything that you just laid out, you laid it out perfectly. And now the question is, I guess from a PR standpoint, how do you ask the Beam regime and Kings fans to come see our product that isn't done yet, right? You get stuck between this almost, not a lie, but hey, we want to win a championship, but when they go into their office, I mean, we ain't going to win a championship, but we want to,
Aspiring.
We're aspiring to. What I would say, if I'm Monty McNair, whoever, we just want to get in the dance and see what happens. Because that's what it is right now.
Yep.
If you're not planning on making any moves, then I don't want to hear about championship this, championship that, because just get into the dance. Because this team ain't going to Denver and winning. This team is not winning a seven games. Think about it. If they haven't got any better, they didn't win last season.
Yeah.
There's a call it, oh, Sabonis didn't do this or Keegan. They lost and they have not really improved their roster, which it's okay if that's by design, but why would I think that they're going to play better in a better Western Conference this season?
Yeah.
It's a better Western Conference.
Yeah. No, I mean, what you're saying makes total sense. I mean, the only thing I could say is maybe they just thought, hey, let's enter the season with this look, knowing we're going to make a move at some point.
Yeah.
But I mean, again, that's where kind of the, you can't say that out loud. You can't say, oh yeah, we're just going to kind of float a little until we figure out which direction we want to go. And then we're going to strike when we feel like the iron's hot. You can't really go out from a PR perspective. You really can't go out and say that. But it feels like that's what the vibe was. Let's run back what we had last year. It was a good team. We know what we're going to get from that. We know it's not a perfect team, but we know that that team can do some damage. And let's play it out. Let's see with our eyes through real game experience what we really need. And then we'll go adjust from there instead of, again, thinking what we need and hopefully making the right moves. At least It sucks because you do, again, you got to go through the pain to figure out what you need, but I do think it's been painful, and it's starting to get really painful and getting worse and happening more often. But I think that there is some value in what they're doing. I just think it is a really risky thing to do because you just never know how injuries are going to happen and all that stuff.
You got a month.
Yeah. No, you still do have a month to figure it out. And I think there still is time for them to figure it out internally too. Like, I do think, you know, I think that this team does have capabilities of being a 4 seed or being a 3 seed. And that's nothing to scoff at. It's of course not what the ultimate goal is, but that's a good step along the process. I think a lot of people would have said after the 3 seed last year, like, they'll probably be a 6 or a 7 seed. I do think there's value in still being a home court advantage team. And kind of like you're saying, even if you're not going to win at all, get to the tournament and see what happens. Like, who knows how injuries are going to pan out. You might end up being a healthy team again. And, you know, there might be 2 or 3 other contenders that aren't as healthy as you. And you just never know. So I think that they're, again, you know, it's a push and pull of, yes, being patient, and yes, also acknowledging this team still needs to go out there and make moves.
Right. It's hard to ask fans that, hey, even though we did this last season, it's not that it was a fluke, but we probably won't do it again, right? Because if you are a 3 seed, you at least expect the team to, and I know we can do the comparisons of where they were last season, this season, but a run has to come eventually because that's
pretty
what happened last season. Yep. And pretty soon we're going to see the difference. And that's fine, but you can't expect fans to assume that as well. All right, got to get to a break. Willie, we see you. We will get to you right after the break. And we also have that Mike Brown sound with his exchange with Malik Monk. That was a little awkward. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. A lot of great conversations. A lot of great conversations happening on the text line. Thank you on the text line. A lot of great conversations happening in the Sack Chat. Thank you to the Sack Chat. And a lot of great conversations happening on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. And that is where Will joins us, who wants to have a conversation about Coach Mike Brown. What's up, Will? You're on Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
What's up, fellas? Styles and Watkins, man, you guys are coming around. You guys are just like Drape, you know, Drape after every game, stupid game that they play like this. Drape comes out of the closet to tell it like it is. Him and Matt Barnes, man, they was letting it loose last night. Let me tell you something, man. Look, here's the problem. There's no consistency, and let me make my points, and then you guys critique it. Mm-hmm. There's no consistency coming from Coach Brown, okay? For one thing, I don't know, you know, I have nothing against Duarte, okay? Mm-hmm. But Duarte played 30 minutes last night, Monk 20. You know, the heart and soul of that team is Malik Monk. I don't care what nobody say. Malik's get everything for him when he's in the flow of the game. I mean, Fox is the star. You know, and Sabonis gets his, but Malik makes that make those guys get involved in the game. And then another thing, look, I have nothing against Alex Lynn. Now, these are all decisions that Coach Brown makes. Mm-hmm. Now, you got JaVale coming off the bench playing like a dog, rebounding, blocking shots, diving on the floor, doing all that kind of stuff while Alex is hurt, okay? He comes back. He gets all those minutes back automatically. You know, Alex Lynn is a career backup center. Mm-hmm. He ain't no star. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
JaVale got a couple of rings on his fingers. And the decisions that Brown be making, I'm saying, look, man, you need defense. Mm-hmm. You need banging. Because Charlotte had no center, they had nobody in the post. Mm-hmm. And then you got my man crying all night and fumbling the ball out of bounds. And you got to sit. Look, Sabonis just didn't have it last night. Mm-hmm. He didn't have it last night because He kept losing the ball, and he kept complaining. He a half step behind on defense because he keeps crying. You know, it was a lot. And then I think Malik probably said, man, look, you know, why did Duarte and them playing all those minutes? And then you got Barnes, 3 points. What, Herter, 4 points. I mean, it's all on the head coach. And then it's like he got these two assistants in his ear all the time. It's like, man, you got to make decisions. You got to make the decisions about who you're sending in and what you're doing. It's like he's coaching the team by committee. It's like he's coaching the team by committee. He has to make decisions. And then you can't put Fox on the star to play defense on the star guard on the other team. You can't do that. You got to put Monk or my man Ellis.
But Fox
or somebody
wants
else.
To. He wants that challenge, though.
It don't matter. It don't matter. It don't matter. Who the coach?
Yeah.
Who's the coach? I mean, Fox got to concentrate on getting the team, getting scoring, and he can't be running around making catches because he couldn't stay with him anyway. I mean, it was just so frustrating. And you guys are on top. You know, look, we can't sugarcoat it no more. Coach Brown have to make decisions and stop bringing it. Like, my man didn't even – JaVale didn't play a minute last night.
No.
Now, you tell me how that made sense.
Yeah.
Is JaVale McGee supposed to win that game yesterday?
No, that ain't what I'm saying. See, there you go. You always do that. I didn't say he's supposed to win the game. What I'm saying is –
You just spent 3 minutes talking about JaVale.
No, I said Sabonis had 11 damn turnovers. Okay? He did nothing. I mean, that's why we never have a civil conversation, because all I'm saying is, look, you got Duarte playing 30 minutes. You got Sabonis playing, 35 minutes, 11 turnovers, okay? There ain't no way in the hell they should lose that game last night. No way.
No, thanks, Willie. Thank you. Yeah, look, a lot to take in there. Thanks for the call, Willie. And I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he's saying in general, because I don't know if you and Willie have ever had a back and forth before.
No. That's
yeah, awesome. Yeah. I think he's just saying maybe the other shows in general. No, thanks for the call, yeah. Willie. I will say this. This is a quote from Mike Brown and from our own Brendan Nunes, just as far as what Mike Brown had to say last night. And then we have sound from Mike Brown about specifically the Malik Monk situation. This is a quote. Our execution down the stretch and our sense of urgency on both sides of the ball was alarming. It wasn't good. And then our half-court defense, to not have an awareness, a sense of urgency, it was not a good feeling being out there and being part of it. And obviously, I have something to do with it too, because I didn't have our guys ready, apparently. So I have seen that certain Kings fans feel that maybe right now, as Coach Mike Brown coaches this team into, like, hey, you guys can figure it out on the fly, right? Or you guys can figure it out in game. There does seem to be a lot of that when he talks. And even though they're not an extremely young team, maybe it's pulling it back to say, you got to know your personnel. I've seen people get upset that he's not going with a lot of the quick timeouts as often as he should. Yeah. And hey, it's time to start understanding who your team is. And maybe this is the straw to where I can't let these dudes go and give them the freedom that I thought I initially could, because they're not getting it done when they do that.
I think
when
the problem with that is, though, last year Mike Brown was really quick on timeouts, and they were the 22nd ranked defense in the league.
Like, well, I'm not just talking defensively, I guess just in general. I mean, I don't know.
I feel like Mike Brown, and even in that quote, to me, the word that I'm like, all that Mike Brown said yesterday, the one word that's screaming to me, apparently.
That's what, no, same with me.
That is telling me that Mike Brown honestly doesn't believe what he does not actually think it's his fault. I don't either. Like, as someone who is, I feel like I'm around this team, I don't think Mike Brown is not putting this team in the right situations. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of people saying, fire Mike Brown. I think all that is just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like, what do people want out of Mike Brown? Like, yes, Mike Brown's taking accountability for his team not apparently not being prepared. Mm-hmm. But I think that this team is not going out there and executing game plans routinely. Malik Monk talked the other day. We played sound yesterday. Him straight up calling the team lazy when they don't play well. Mike Brown has said countless times, internal leadership. I can only tell these guys what to do so many times. They have to go out and do it. Did Mike Brown turn the ball over 20 times yesterday?
No.
I don't think he did. I don't think he told his team, hey, go out there, be loose, play free. No, I'm pretty sure he said, we need to take care of the ball. We need to play defense. And the Kings did not play defense the second half, and they did not take care of the ball the entire game. I don't think that this is on Mike Brown. And I think he's trying to figure it out. I mean, it's his job as a coach to, if he feels like things aren't going well, which, by the way, he just made a lineup change. Do you change things when you feel like things are going well? No. So clearly Mike Brown doesn't think things are going well despite their good record. He's trying. He's filtering things out. We talked to Chris Biederman yesterday. He mentioned how much this team practices. I don't think that a lot of this is just on the fly. I feel like they've been running rotations in practice, and it's just this is the first time we're actually seeing it in game. And to me, Mike Brown's trying. I just think that the guys, frankly, aren't doing their jobs.
Now, I would say that if this was a game, right, there are certain games where, to your point, there are certain games where you can put on the coach. If they lost a game and there was a weird rotation or something was blatantly obvious, right, and you're up against the Denver Nuggets, right, or a team that you need to be on your P's and Q's, then sure, right?
Right.
But against the Charlotte Hornets off of back-to-back, missing LaMelo Ball, missing Gordon Hayward.
Come on.
I think Mike Brown maybe in a way is saying, De'Aaron, I can't call you an MVP, right? Because MVP encapsulates everything. That's why an MVP, besides the triple-double year with Russell, is always basically about a four seed or better, right? I can't call you an MVP and, you know, have to chase around the kiddos.
Yep.
That's not normally what happens. So I hear you on that one, because this isn't a game where you should need a bunch of this or a bunch of that.
Do you need Greg Popovich to beat the
Hornets? No, you shouldn't. So did I think once you got in the game, you could have ran some more traps, you could have done some things? I do agree with that. But holistically, you shouldn't need – this shouldn't have to be a Mike Brown game to take care of this. And number two, as we got to get to a break and we see you on the line – Scooter, we'll get to you. We know you're a P1 in our sack chat. And number two, maybe some of this, and I'm not trying to stir the pot or anything, but is some of this saying, if I'm Mike Brown, to Monty McNair, these are the ingredients that I have. We have a game plan. Dudes are not doing their job. Kevin Huerter, okay? Are you going to boom or bust? You got moved to the bench. Make a jump shot. You're wide open in the corners to shoot. It's the shortest three-pointer on the court. Make a shot.
Yeah.
Make a shot. So Mike Brown didn't choose to re-sign Harrison Barnes, okay? He didn't make these decisions. Nope. So does he have some culpability in some spots? Do I think they could have got the ball out of Miles Bridges' hands and Terry Rozier a little bit more? Yeah. But do I think it's Mike Brown's fault that they're having that conversation against the Charlotte Hornets off of back-to-back? No, I don't. Got to get to a break. When we get back, see you both callers on the line, and we will get to that Mike Brown sound with the exchange with Malik Monk. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.